We begin the current daf Masechta Sukkah with daf Tes. We begin on the top of the Yamed, but the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. We can continue on the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing the different psulim and validations in the structure of the Sukkah. So now the Mishnah tells us about a case that's a machlekes. Sukkah Yeshana literally means an old Sukkah. Now, as the Mishnah will explain, it's talking about that there's two components. First of all, it was built 30 days before the Yom Tov of Sukkahs. And additionally, it wasn't specified when it was being built that the construction was for the purpose of it being a sukkah on the Yom Tov of Sukkahs. So we have a machlekes. Bishamei place, and Bishamei say it's invalid. And the reason is because they require that a sukkah has to be made what's called lishma, for the intention that it should be made for the mitzvah of sukkah. And this one was made just plain. They just put up a hut, a tent. Now, if it would have been made within 30 days of the Yom Tov of Sukkahs, then since that's the period when what's called Shoyel Medershin Behilchas HaChag, 30 days prior to a Yom Tov, we discuss, we ask questions regarding the halachas of that Yom Tov, then we assume that Stam, and if someone just does something that is a Yom Tov component, that we say that he probably did it for the Yom Tov, and therefore then it would actually be kosher according to Bishamai. But here, since it was done 30 days before and he didn't say anything, then it wasn't done for the l'shem of the chag, and therefore it's going to be pasul because it's not going to be l'shma. Ubisil machshirin, Ubisil argue, and they say it's going to be kosher because they do not require that the building, the construction of the sukkah, has to be for the intention of being for the Yom Tov of Sukkot. It could be even, it was made for just shelter, just but at least as it was litzel, as long as we explained in the previous daf, as long as it was to protect from the element of the sun to provide shade, that's already calling it with the shame of sukkah, and then it's kosher for a sukkah on sukkahs, doesn't have to be made for the intention of sukkahs. Now, as the Mishnah explains what we just alluded to, ve'ezuhi sukkah yishana, what is an old sukkah that we have this machlikis b'shamisil, is kosher so koid m'chag shleshem yam, as long as it was built before 30 days before the Yom Tov of sukkahs. But if it was made for the purpose of Sukkot, then even if it was made from the beginning of the year, it's going to be kosher, because again, that is, even Bishami would agree that it would be kosher. Again, because the reason why they say it's not kosher is because it's not lishma. But if you do it within 30 days, or even if you did it before, but you said you're doing it for the purpose of your 6 months early, but I'm building a sukkah for sukkahs, then it's going to be kosher because both of those cases will be considered as if it was being done lishma for the purpose of the Yom Tov sukkahs, and there even Bishamai would agree. Now the Gemara asks, my time of the Bishamai, what's the reason of Bishamai that they do require that the sukkah should be made lishma for the purpose of the Yom Tov sukkahs, which again, that either comes when you verbally declare that this is your intention even 6 months before, or even if you don't say why you're doing it, but it's within 30 days, then we assume that you're doing it for the Yom Tov purpose. Why does he require that has to be lishma? So my crowd, because the pasuk in the Yikra that says, Chag HaSukkahs Shivas Yom LaHashem. It says that the Yom Tov of Sukkahs should be 7 days for Hashem. Now the explanation is, according to Beis Shammai, that Sukkah HaSuyah L'Shem Chag Beinon. You need the Sukkah to be made for the purpose of the Yom Tov of Hashem, because it says in the pasuk, Sukkah should be LaHashem, which means to say that you're making the Sukkah for the commandment of the king, who is Hashem. That is what it's telling you, that it should be the Chag HaSukkahs, the Sukkah should be for Hashem, it should be made with that intention. Ubisil, what does Bishil do with that pasuk? They need that pasuk for a different drasha, that of Rav Sheshes. Dam Rav Sheshes Mishum Rebbe Kiva. Minayin la'atzei sukkah. Where do we know regarding the wood of the sukkah, shasurin kol shiva, that it's prohibited from having hanah from it all 7 days of sukkahs? Tamalame, that's what the pasuk teaches that we just quoted. Chag HaSukkahs Shivas Yom LaHashem. The Yom Tov of sukkahs, the sukkah will be 7 days for Hashem. It's like Hekdesh. One cannot go ahead and derive pleasure from it. That's what the pasuk is teaching us, but not that it should be made l'shem sukkah. You could have any sukkah, but for the 7 days of sukkahs, it's considered Hashem's, and you not have anah from that. Similarly, B'tanya learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseya Omer, he says, K'shem shechal shem shemayim al chagiga, just like the name of heaven rests upon the carbon chagiga, which is on the Shalosh Regalim, each Yom Tov, one would bring a Shalmi Chagiga. It was a carbon shlamim that was a Chagiga, which is related to the word Chag, which was brought on the Yom Tov. Now, there's Hekdesh that's Chal on the carbon, and it makes the carbon prohibited until after the Emurim, the sacrificial parts, are sacrificed in the Mizbeach. And only after that do we say that the individual merits to eat from the carbon what's called Mishulchan Gevoya, from the table of Hekdesh, which is like a servant taking a piece from his master's table, which is, we only get it afterwards. But before that happens, for that time span when it's not yet the sacrificial part served, it's going to have Shem Shemayim on it, and it's prohibited to have enough of it. So, kach chal Shem Shemayim al sukkah, so too, the name of heaven rests upon the sukkah itself, and hence, for the 7 days of Sukkot, it's going to be prohibited to have enough from it, just like a carbon is prohibited to have enough from it until after the hektish process was done with it, so to hear with Sukkot. Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk, that we compare the Chagiga to the Sukkah. As it says in the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkah is Shabbos Yom LaHashem. The Yanda of Sukkot will be 7 days to Hashem, but it says Chag and it says Sukkot. And if we make the following comparison, Ma Chag, just like Chag, which is a reference to the carbon, Chagiga is LaHashem. As we said, it's Hashem's until all the process is done, then we could have Hanah from it. Av Sukkah LaHashem, so to the Sukkah, as long as that process of the Yom Tov of Sukkot is being done, it's Hashem's. And therefore, it's prohibited to have Hanah from it all 7 days, and only after Sukkot can one go ahead and utilize the Sukkah. Now, so therefore, again, we have these two Limudim that shows this concept of that the principle of the pasuk is coming to teach you that it's prohibited for the atzei sukkah, the wood of the sukkah is prohibited for the 7 days of sukkah. So the Gemara asks, Ubeishami nami mibayi leila hachi, but Beishami also requires then this pasuk to teach us this halacha that it's the sukkah is prohibited to have a pleasure from it through the Yom Tov of sukkah, like the chagiga. So how can he say this other halacha that you have to build the sukkah l'shem sukkahs? If that pasuk is coming to teach us a different halacha, that which we just explained from Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says, in the Chanami, you're right, Beishami also needs that pasuk to teach you that the atzei sukkah are prohibited. Elamai tamai de Beishami. So then what's the reason for Beishami again that they hold that one has to build the sukkah l'shem chag, if that's not the source? Rather, because k'siv karachrin, there's another pasuk. It's a pasuk in Devarim that says, chag ha-sukkah is tas l'cha shavas yam. The Yom Tov of Sukkot you should make for you 7 days. Now the interpretation is, Sukkah ha'suya l'shem chag binan. We need a sukkah that was made for the intention of the Yom Tov. Now, as Rashi explains, because the words of the pasuk are, chag ha'sukkah is tasa, which first, the pasuk has to be read inverted, and that is first you read, ha'sukkah is tasa l'chag. So therefore you take like the second word, and then the third word, and then the first word, which is a different way of putting of mixing up the words. That's how Beis Shammai learned up that pasuk to tell you that the sukkah should be made l'shem chag. So therefore, you have this pasuk strasha to telling you that it has to be made l'shma. Beis Hillel, the Gemara asks, what does Beis Hillel do with that pasuk? Then need that pasuk to teach a different halacha that one could make his sukkah on chol hamoed. That is, if let's say he didn't make it before the Yom Tov of Sukkot. So it's teaching you that b'chag, even in the chag, Hasukas Tazi, you should make the sukkahs even on Yom Tov. If you didn't make it before Yom Tov, you should make it on Chol HaShemayit. The Gemara says, Ubei Shammai. Where does he know that halacha from? So the Gemara says, actually, Sevilu Kareb Eliezer, the Amma that he says, Ein Oisin Sukkah B'Chol HaShemayit. That's not a problem for him. Where does he know that halacha from? Because he won't darshan the pasuk that way. Because he holds like Kareb Eliezer that, and this machlekes is brought later on the Chavzayim Abayis, that he holds actually you don't make the sukkah on Chol HaShemayit, and therefore obviously the pasuk is not coming to tell you that drasha, rather it's coming to tell you the drasha that you have to make the sukkah l'shem chag. Now the Gemara asks, Ubis Hillel, so now that we just clarified the sources in Pesukim according to the Shittas of Bisham and Beis Hillel, now according to Beis Hillel that do not require the sukkah to be made l'shma, it doesn't have to be made with the intention that this should be a sukkah for sukkahs, I'm just building a hut. Now as long as it was made for tzel, for shade, then you can use it on sukkahs. So the Gemara says, Les lohu d'rab Yehuda m'rab. So would we say the same thing regarding the area of a halacha of tzitzis, that it seemed like that Beis Hillel would not hold of the halacha that Rav Yehuda said over in the name of Rav. Because the Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, he said as follows. He says, Asah, if one made the tzitzis of a garment, min ha-koitzin, either from threads that are like thorns. Now what that means is that if someone had threads that were coming out from the weft in the length of the garment, and it's coming out, so he knotted it. Now the tip of that are hanging out after it's woven, are hanging out from the garment. Now the reason why they're called kites and thorns is because they're sticking out of the garment like thorns. So if let's say he made the tzitzis from these thorn-like protrusions from the garment, or minat nimin, or from the threads. So for example, if let's say someone has a talus, a garment, where it was woven, or if he made like an edge to that, he made a seam by needlepoint, and now the edges of where the needlepoint was, they have these threads that are sticking out, and he goes and he makes these things that are coming out, he turns that into tzitzis. Or mehagradim, or another similar item, if he makes it out of fringes, where at the end of the talis, there's what's the leftover from the weaving, he goes and he turns that and he makes that into tzitzis from the garment itself, from the threads. So regarding all these three similar types of cases, which are basically threads that are extraneous, that are hanging out of the garment, on that, Rav said that pesula. They're going to be invalid to be kosher for the halacha of tzitzis strings. And the reason is, since they were just hanging there and just part of the garment, and they weren't hung on, tied on to the garment for the purpose of being tzitzis, so that's not, wasn't made lishma, it wasn't made for the intention of being tzitzis, it just happens to be hanging out extra thread, that won't be valid. However, min hasisin, if one takes a round ball of thread and he hangs that on, then kasher, that will be kosher for tzitzis. And since it was hung onto the garment with the intention of hanging as tzitzis, so that's considered being made lishma. However, the fact that they weren't spun for the purpose of being tzitzis, that's not a problem, because Rav holds that the spinning of the thread does not have to be made lishma, just the actual putting onto the garment of the tzitzis have to be made lishma. Now, however, Rabbi Yehuda said that Ki'amriti Kamei Deshmul, when I said over this statement of Rav in front of Shmuel, and as Rashi explains, because Rabbi Yehuda was the student of both Rav and Shmuel, and after Rav passed away, so he would go to Shmuel and say, you know, this is what I had heard in the name of Rav, and he said, when I said over this halacha in front of Shmuel in the name of Rav, so he argued in Rav, and Amali, he said to me, that Afman Asisin Nami Psula, that even from this ball of thread, that then you're hanging that on to the talis, that will also be invalid. Because not only do you have to do the asiyah, the hanging on of the tzitzis on the garment, for the intention of being tzitzis, you even have to spin the thread beforehand for the purpose of being tzitzis. But either way, be that as it may, both Rav and Shmuel hold that the asiyah, at least, the final step of putting the tzitzis onto the garment, has to be done with the intention of being tzitzis. And therefore, if you have just threads hanging out, although they look exactly like tzitzis and they fulfill the same function, they will not be kosher because they weren't put on for that purpose. Now, if that's the case, so that would come out that both Rav and Shmuel, which is this halacha that Rehud is saying in the name of Rav, would also require that the sukkah should be made lishma. But that's not like Basil tells us in our Mishnah, that it does not have to be made lishma the sukkah. As long as it's sukkah, it was made for shade, so it's okay. But why is it any different than Rabbi Yehuda Marav's halacha by tzitzis, that it does have to be made for the mitzvah purpose with that intention beforehand? That the Gemara says the Shani Hasam. It's not a contradiction. Basil could be the same as Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Now the reason is because the halacha by tzitzis is different, that there you need to have it to be done lishma. The Amakra, because there's a pasuk in the Varm that says, Gedilim tasalach, you should make tzitzis for you. Now the word lach comes to tell you l'shem chayvcha, for the intention of being fulfilling your obligation. So it's telling you that when you're making the gedilim, they should be made lach, and that's why you have a source in the pasuk. But then the Gemara says hachinami. But then if that's the case, here also by sukkah you have a pasuk that says chagas sukkas tasalacha. The yom tov of sukkahs, you should make the sukkah for you, which also you should say the drasha lacha l'shem chayvcha. It should be built for the intention of fulfilling your obligation. So therefore, if Rabbi Yehuda Marav is correct by tzitzis, we should say the same thing by sukkah, but Basil doesn't say that. And that the Gemara says, no, hahu mebayle. My sukkah, that pasuk, is not coming to teach you that it should be made lishma, because that word lacha is coming to teach you lemeute gezula. That's excluding when it's stolen, that it should be made from yours. That's excluding when it was stolen, it's not yours. That's what the pasuk is teaching you. But then the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Then the same thing should be by the halach of tzitzis, that pasuk, when it says tasalach, should also mean to say that gedilam tasa mishalcha, it should be made from yours. That it should be excluding stolen and not teaching you that it should be made with the intention of making it to fulfill the chiyuv. How do you know that over there it's for lemut egzula and not here by tzitzis? And the Gemara answers, because hasam ksiv krachrina. By tzitzis, there's another pasuk, a pasuk in Midbar that says, v'asu lehem, they should make for themselves, which comes to teach you mishalahem, from their own, and therefore you already have a pasuk teaching you to exclude gezula, and therefore this other pasuk of gedilim tasalacha is coming to teach you that must be that it should be made mishalcha, from your own, and that's why tzitzis is different than sukkah. Could be that Beis Hill would agree to Yehuda Marav, it's just that sukkah doesn't have any pasuk teaching you that it has to be made l'shem sukkah. The pasuk that does sound like that is teaching you a different halacha, lemut egzula. Whereas by tzitzis, there's two psukim, and that's why not only is it lemut egzula, but it also comes to teach you that it should be made for the intention of tzitzis. Now we continue on Talmud Beis, but we continue with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme about the different invalidations, different psulim in the sukkah. So the Mishnah tells us, Ha'isa sukkasei tachas ilan. If someone makes his sukkah underneath a tree, then it's ke'ilu asa b'teich habayis. It's as if you built your sukkah in your house, and therefore it's invalid, as the Gemara will teach us in the Brayis and the Gemara. Sukkah gabe sukkah. Someone built a double-decker sukkah, a sukkah on top of a sukkah. So then, hal yoinik shera, the upper sukkah is kasher, but tachtayim sula, and the lower one down, is the bottom one, is invalid, because ultimately this lower sukkah is going to be having two schachs, two roof coverings. And as the Gemara will illustrate, that the pasuk invalidates a sukkah underneath another sukkah, it can't have more than one schach. However, Behudaimer, he argues. He says, im ein diurin be'el yoina, if there are no dwellers in the upper sukkah, which the Gemara will explain what that means, then then the low one is kasher, even though it's a sukkah, tachas a sukkah. Now, the Gemara clarifies the first halacha that the Mishnah opened up with. Amar Rabbah, Rabbah says, he says, Loi shanu, we did not learn this psul of making a sukkah, tachas a ilan, underneath a tree. Ela be'ilan shetzilasem rubi mechamase. This was only regarding a tree, that the tree provides more shade than sunlight. If one was focusing just on the tree regarding the one who's sitting in the sukkah, that tree would be giving more sunlight, more shade, than the sunlight. Then if you build a sukkah underneath such a tree, then your sukkah is invalid. But if let's say there was no schach for the sukkah, and one is sitting in the sukkah, there would be more sunlight coming through those branches than shade, then one sitting in that sukkah underneath the tree, it would be kasher. Mimai. Where do I know this from? Midiktani. Let's read our Mishnah very carefully, Rabbi says. The Mishnah told us that if someone's sitting in a sukkah underneath a tree, it's ki'ilu asa b'teich habayis, as if he made it in his house. Now, lamali lemisni ki'ilu asa b'teich habayis, why does the Mishnah have to tell us that making a sukkah underneath a tree is as if you made it inside your house? And the reason why it's a very difficult question is because it actually is the same pasuk that teaches us that you cannot make a sukkah in a house, is the same pasuk that teaches us that you can't make a sukkah underneath a tree. So why would I say that this is dependent on that one? Oh, if you make it underneath a tree, it's like you made it in a house. If they're anyways both learned from the same source, so why would I make it dependent on that? It just say it's possible. Just like in theory, you would say it's possible. As the Gemara says, listen to Psula, just say it's invalid. Why would I say that it's like building in the house? Rather, the reason why the Mishnah, the Tana, told us these words is to teach us this chiddush. The ilon domi demayis. Making a sukkah underneath a tree is as if you made it in the house, to say that only if the tree's like a house, which is ma bayis tzilasim rubu mechamase, just like a house, it provides more shade than sunlight, or else you're not in a good house, obviously, because it's enclosed and it has a roof. Af ilan tzilasim rubu mechamase. So to a tree is talking about a case when it provides more shade than sunlight. Then we're going to say the lowest, the sukkah underneath it is going to be possible. But if not, then it's going to be kasher. Now the Gemara asks on this. Now, why would you say that if there's more sunlight than shade, it's going to be kasher? And that is, one would assume maybe that the pshat would be that if you're going to have more shade than sunlight, that's as if that's the halacha of what a schach is supposed to be doing. And the low one, therefore, will not be the valid sukkah providing the shade, because you're having the tzilasim rubim chamasai from the tree. Whereas when you would say there would be more sunlight than shade, then you say that it's not significant. It's not providing what a sukkah needs, because a sukkah needs more shade than sunlight. And therefore, we would discount the tree and say that it's getting it from the schach, and that's why it'd be kosher. But that the Gemara says, you can't say that. Because hakom it's dariv schach pasul. But ultimately, you're still combining this Pasul schach, which is a reference to the branches that are connected to the tree. That's what's called schach pasul, because as the pasuk teaches in Varm Tezayin, ba'aspacha migarncha miyikvecha. It says in the context of the halachas of sukkah that when you're gathering the migarin and yikvev, which as the Gemara later on will explain, that means to say when you're gathering these things, which are things that are detached, those are the things that you could use to make your sukkah. Now, obviously, that means that one cannot use the branches that are connected to the tree as schach, and therefore that would make it invalid schach, schach psula. However, in this case, where the branches are connected to the tree, you're getting some shade from the tree, which is giving shade for the sukkah. Now, that means it's completing the tzil b'hadi schach kosher together with the kosher schach. Now, the halacha is that the tzilasim rubim chamasa, as Rashi later on this Amar will explain, it has to be only from the schach. But in this case, where it's not only from the schach, because although it's only, let's say, very little shade from the tree, there's more sunlight than shade, but you're getting some shade, that's combining, because ultimately you're getting shade from there too, with the kosher schach. Now that will make the sukkah invalid, because it's not only the kosher schach that's providing the shade, it's also coming through the tree. So what are you gaining? The Gemara is asking on Rava, the way he's learning up the dig from the Mishnah, that it's only going to be possible if there's more shade than sunlight from the tree. Even if you have more sunlight than shade, there's still some shade that's combining with the kosher schach. So you have pasul schach, kosher schach, and only that is how you're getting your shade in your sukkah. That is invalid. So why would we say it's kosher underneath the tree that has more sunlight than shade? So my papa explains the criteria that what Rav was talking about. It's talking about b'shechavotan, that the branches of the tree were lowered down, which were then mixed in with the kosher schach. And therefore, it's not visible what is the tree and what is this kosher schach. Now, since there's more kosher schach than the pasul schach, as we said, you don't have that many branches, and now you're lowering it down and it's mixed together, let's say a bamboo or whatever it is that you're mixing it together. Now, there's a din d'oraisa, what's called batel b'rov, which batel b'rov means to say that if there's a majority of one item and there's a minority of another thing, the rov is mevatel, nullifies, as if the what's pasul is not even there. And since this case is talking about that you have more kosher schach, which you had a regular sukkah, and you have only a little bit of schach pasul, therefore we're going to say that's why it's going to be kosher. But of course, if you have more tzel than chama coming from the branches, that means you have a lot, that means you don't have a majority of kosher schach over pasul schach, then it would be pasul even though you're mixing it in. But in this case, where it's all mixed together, and therefore the halachic principle of bittul could work, if they're separated, you can't use that principle. They're not mixed together to say that there's a bittul. But here where you lower it down and it's all mixed together, that's why it's going to be kosher, as long as the majority are kosher schach. But then the Gemara asks on that, if the way you're qualifying what Rava said, which is the deek of the Mishnah, that this of what it's going to be pasul is only when you have more shade, but when there's more sunlight, it's going to be kosher because you had lowered the branches and mixed it together with the kosher schach on your sukkah, then ma'ila b'emra. What is Rava telling me, first of all, that it's kosher? And why did the Mishnah have to say then the words kila asa b'techa bayis to tell us this deek, that it's only a problem if it's like the house, which has more shade than sunlight? Because since this case is talking about that you have more sunlight than shade, and you have very few branches, and that the kosher schach is the majority over that, so why would I think to say it's possible that we need Rava and additionally the Deek and the Mishnah to tell us that's going to be kosher? You don't have a problem because of two schachs, because actually it's one schach, they're all mixed together. And there's no problem about the fact that it's mechuber, that it's schach pasul, because of bittul b'rov, which tells us that it's nullified. So why would we think that's possible that Rava and the Deek and the Mishnah has to tell us that's going to be kosher? So the Gemara tells us why we needed Rava. Ma'u d'tema nigzer hecha d'chavatan. I would have thought to say maybe it's a gezer d'rabbanan, that even when you did go ahead and you lowered the branches and you mixed it together when there's very few branches and the majority of the kosher schach is mevatlet, atu hecha d'lechavatan, because maybe of a case when you're not going to lower the branches and mix it together with the kosher schach, where then it is a problem, because then you have the branches that are attached to the tree, which then that schach pasul will be combining to create itself for the sukkah with the kosher schach. Now, since it's not mixed together with it, each one is individually, then the principle of bittul cannot work, because they're separate things. You can't be mevatel somebody that's not mixed together, and therefore, it's going to be an invalid sukkah. So I would think to say that, look, if we let people make a sukkah underneath a tree, even with very few branches, if it's only kosher when it's mixed together, then they might come to let it be used even when it's not mixed together, when you didn't lower down the branches and tie it down, mix it together, and then you will have a halachic problem of not only having the tzel merubah mechamasai from the kosher schach, you're going to have also a mixture of the non-kosher schach. Therefore, I would think that you make a gzera that it shouldn't even work even when you do lower it. That's the chiddush of Rava, which is coming from the digah of the Mishnah, that we don't make such a gzera. And if you did lower it, it's going to be kosher as long as there's less tell then chama. Now, the Gemara asks on that, however, hanami tanina, even this halacha, that we don't make this gezerah, we also learned in the Mishnah later on, again, which then begs the question, what is Rava teaching us, and what is this deek of this Mishnah teaching us, if a Mishnah later on teaches this? The Mishnah later on teaches us, hidla, if someone lifts up and spreads out aleha on top of the sukkah, Es hagefen, either the grapevine, ves hadlas, or gourd, ves hakisais, and the ivy. Now, the ivy is something that is a type of a herb that spreads out. It has its roots are like a tree, and its base is like a tree. But however, it spreads out and it goes all over the walls and it keeps on growing. It's like a type of a vine. And so someone took these things, which are these vines type of things, v'sichich al gabon, and then he picked up these vines and threw it over on top of the sukkah, and then he went and made schach on top of these things, then pesula. Then the sukkah is going to be invalid, and the reason is because these things are still mechuber, they're attached to the ground, he just lifted them up and threw it on top of the sukkah, and as we said, mechuber is not kosher schach. However, v'm hoyesichich harbe mehen, but if the kosher schach was more, was derived of these schach psulim, this ivy and the gourd and the grapevine, oisha cut it on over, someone cut it off from the ground, make sure then it's going to be kosher sukkah, because in those two cases, either because of bitl b'rayv, the kosher schach will nullify the miyat, or because when you cut it, it's not attached anymore, so it's kosher schach, it's something that grows from the ground. Now, first the Gemara asks, hechi dami, what is this case of when we said that sichach harbe mehen, that if you have more kosher schach than these pasul schach, then it will be kosher based on the principle of bittel? What's the case talking about? Ilim b'shulich avatan, if we're talking about where they didn't lower down this ivy and the gourd and the grapevine, that it should be mixed together with the kosher schach, where then you don't have the halachic principle of bittel, then the question would be, why would that sukkah be kosher? Hakam itstarv schach paslim schach kosher. But then you're combining for the tzel of the sukkah by having the kosher schach, which is the majority, but it's still combining since they're not mixed together. It's combining with the schach pasl, which is the schach which is from that's attached to the ground, the ivy and the grapevine. Now, and although it's very far away and it's separated, but again, as we said, it's still increasing the shade. And this is where Rashi says that idea that the halacha of tzilas merubah mechamasa has to be only from the kosher schach. It can't even be combined, even though it's a minority, from the schach pasl. So if it wasn't tol mechavatan, that it was lowered down and mixed together with the ivy and the kosher, so why would it be kosher? El lav kishachavatan must be, that's talking about, when it was lowered down and it's all mixed together, the kosher schach and this non-kosher schach, which is the ivy, let's say, that's attached to the ground, which it becomes batal through the kosher schach. So then it's like as if the entire thing is kosher schach because of bittel. Then bishmamin adulagazrin. So obviously, from that mission later on, we understand that we do not make a gzeira because it's telling us clearly that's the case, that it was lowered down, and that's the only reason why it's kosher. And we're saying that the majority will nullify the minority of the non kosher schach, which obviously that means to say that we don't make a gzeira when it's not going to be lowered down and mixed together. So what is the chiddush of Rav and our Mishnah? If a Mishnah later on says that explicitly, that if you're going to be mechaveted, lower down, mix it together, that's going to be kosher and we don't make a gzeira, that when you're not going to, where it would be possible, because then it would be combining the kosher schach and the non-kosher schach. So the Gemara answer is that, ma'od etema, hanemili b'di avid. If I only had the Mishnah later on, I would have thought to say that, l'ketchila, that doesn't work. It's only after the fact, because that's the lashon of the Mishnah later on, which is hidla, that if someone had lifted up and spread out these things and then mixed together, then it's kosher. But I would think initially one cannot go ahead and do this, just like as many areas halacha. You cannot do what's called bitul leketchila. You cannot go ahead and nullify something. You can't take some milk and put into meat that's more than 60 times that amount of milk. You can't leketchila nullify a piece of chazer and kosher thing, even though there's a lot amount. Therefore, I would think the same thing over here. One would not be able to go ahead and nullify it liketchila. That was the chiddush of Rava, of the Deek of a Mishnah, that here it's not a problem. That one could go ahead and lower down the tree branches, which is the minority, and then have it mixed together with the majority of the kosher schach, thereby nullifying it, and one could even go ahead and do that initially. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Again, that's why the halach of Sukkot Achas Ilan is only talking about when there's more tzel than sun. But again, that's only talking about when you lower it down. If it wasn't lowered down, then even if you have less tzel than chama, if you have only very few branches, it would still be a problem. Our halach of our Mishnah, and what Rav was explaining was, when you lower it down, then it's being nullified, and one could even do that like a tchila by having the rive of the schach kasher be mevatel the schach pasul. Now, the Mishnah continued and told us that sukkah gabe sukkah b'chulu. If someone makes a sukkah on top of another sukkah, then the lower one is going to be pasul, and the upper one is going to be kasher. So the Gemara brings Tarban, one of the Braisa, the source for this halacha. It says in the Pusik, Basukkah is Teshu, that one should dwell in huts, in sukkahs, on the Yom Tov of sukkahs. which that tells us, v'loy besukkah shetachas sukkah, not if it's a sukkah beneath another sukkah, v'loy besukkah shetachas ila, not if it's a sukkah beneath a tree, v'loy besukkah shebatecha bayis, and neither if it's a sukkah that's within a house. Because it tells us you should only be dwelling in your sukkah, not in anything else, which means not in another sukkah on top of that, not in a house that's on top of that, not a tree that's on top of that. But the Gemara asks, what do you mean, adarabah, to the contrary? How could you say that this invalidates sitting in a sukkah underneath another sukkah? But basukah is tarti mashma. The term basukah that's used in the Torah is a plural term, which means say in huts with a plural s at the end. So that sounds like two. So how can you say a sukkah underneath a sukkah is possible? But what do you mean? Basukah means say you should sit in two sukkahs, which would make it kosher if you're in a sukkah underneath a sukkah. However, Amar Nachman by Yitzchak, he said basukah is ksiv. It's written without the vav, which what that would mean is that although it's read basukah is in the plural, it's written in the singular, basukas, in the sukkah. And therefore, since it's written like that, it's coming to teach us this halacha, although it was said in the plural, because it's talking about to many Jews, but for every individual, it should only be in one sukkah, and not in a sukkah underneath a sukkah. And similarly, regarding any other area, if it's not just a sukkah, it will make it a pasul sukkah. Now, related to this, Amar Bimi Rimi says, regarding this halacha of a sukkah, tachas ha-sukkah, that although our Mishnah did qualify it by saying that the low one is pasul and the upper one is kasher, however, Amar Bimer, he says, four different cases, and that is, pa'amim shashtein ksheres, sometimes both of the sukkahs will be kasher, pa'amim, a second case, shashtein psula, sometimes they'll both be invalid, a third case, pa'am shashtein ksher vel yen psula, sometimes the low one will be kasher, and the upper one will be pasul, the opposite of what our Mishnah said, and the fourth case, and sometimes we'll be like our Mishnah said, that the low one will be invalid and the upper one will be kasher. And the Gemara explains, what are these four cases? What is the first case that he said? That both of the sukkahs, the sukkah, tachas the sukkah, could both be kasher. So that he explains. For example, if let's say the low one has more sunlight coming through its schach than the shade that's being provided by its schach, which what that means is as if his schach, the lower schach, is if it's not there, because it's not qualifying as schach, which has to provide shade. It's not. It's having more sunlight than shade. Hence, both the sukkahs, the low one and the upper one, are getting their schach, so to speak, from the upper sukkah. And v'hel yayna, and the upper sukkah, is tzilasim rebim chamasa, is actually kosher schach, which has more shade than sunlight. V'kaim el yayna b'teich esrim, and the upper sukkah, is within 20 amas, which therefore, since it's within 20 amas from the ground, so it's kosher schach, and therefore even the bottom one's going to be kosher, because really, although it's really two sukkahs, one on top of the other, the schach of the bottom sukkah is as if it doesn't exist, because it's not halachically sukkah, a schach. It's not giving more shade than sunlight, so it's as if it's not there. So now the bottom one, although he has some type of a ceiling, but it's nothing halachically, and the bottom and the top one, well, his floor is also halachically, it's not like it's not there. So they're both really within the height of the top sukkah schach, which is within 20 amos of the ground, which is kosher, which is good even for the bottom one. So therefore, both sukkahs will be kosher. And now Bimur continues, what's the second case? So pa'amim shishtein besulas hechidam. What's the case of sometimes that both sukkahs, the lower one and the upper one, will be invalid? That's k'goin de tavayu tilosim rubim chamasim. That's talking about if both of them are full-fledged sukkahs in the sense of they both have their schach has more shade than sunlight. Now the upper sukkah, its schach is 20 amas higher than its floor, which is the roof of the bottom one. Now therefore both of them are going to be pasul. The upper one is going to be pasul because its own schach is higher than 20 amas, which we said in the Mishnah beginning of Masechta, that you can't have your schach higher than 20 amas. The low one is also going to be pasul because it's now in a full-fledged sukkah tachas sukkah because it has a pasul schach that's above it that will then say that there is schach that is it's in the category of sukkah tachas sukkah, which will invalidate it because it's not in only its own schach. So therefore, it's the upper one for sure is going to be pasul. And similarly, regarding the second one, it's almost like a sukkah tachas ilan under an area that's giving non-kosher schach. So therefore, both of them are going to be pasul. Now the third case. Now the Gemara wants to know, how do you have a case when the bottom one's going to be kosher and the upper one's going to be pasul, which is the inverse of the case of our Mishnah? So Bimi explains, we're talking about, for example, where the lower one has more shade than sunlight, And the upper one has more sunlight than shade, which what essentially what that means is that the schach of the upper one is not even schach. Therefore, that will not invalidate the lower one because of the halachic principle that our Mishnah is coming from of sukkah tachas sukkah, because there is no upper sukkah, there's no schach there. And the upper one, however, is going to be itself pasul because it doesn't have schach, as we said. It has more chama, more sunlight than tzel. Now, it's also talking about in the case, b'kaimi tarvayi b'toy chesrim, that both of them are within 20 amas of their ground. And that is because if the upper one was above 20 amas, then even the lower one would be pasul, because then you would have the combination of the schach pasul. Again, schach being above 20 amas from the ground is considered schach pasul. That would be combining with the kosher schach of the lower sukkah, like a similar like the previous case that we spoke about. And since schach higher than 20 amas is pasul, that would be combining together with the kosher one as pasul. But now that it's within 20 amas of the ground, so let it combine. Because as long as you're not getting more tzel than chama from the upper one, it won't be pasul because of the halacha of sukkah tachas sukkah. So what's interesting to note in this case is that there's a fundamental difference in regarding the invalidation of sukkah tachas sukkah or having the combination of non-kosher schach, which we said, for example, would be with the branches, or even in this case of another of the having the schach above 20 amas. So therefore, even if you have only very little, if you have even chamasa merubim tzelasa of the schach above 20 amas, that would invalidate the lower sukkah. Because of having a combination, you can't do bittel because it's not mixed together. This one is the upper sukkah, it's above 20 amas. That would invalidate the low one. So as long as it's within 20 amas of the ground, and it's chamas merubim tzelasa, so now based on the principle of sukkah tachas sukkah, it's not, because it's not considered schach pasul, it's just not validating the upper sukkah, because it's not above 20 amas. So the upper one's going to be pasul itself, because it doesn't have proper schach, because it's more sunlight than shade. And based on that, that the inverse of that, the low one actually will be kosher because it's not underneath the sukkah because it only has chamasa merubim tzelasa. Finally, the fourth case, how do you have the case, which is the case of our Mishnah, that the upper one is kosher and the low one is pasul? That's kagoyin d'tavayu tzelasa merubim chamasa. That's talking about where both of them have more shade than sunlight. Hence, the low one's pasul because of this is the classic case of a Mishnah of sukkah tachas sukkah, because you have two full-fledged sukkahs, one on top of the other, because they both have more shade than sunlight, so therefore the low one is going to be pasul. V'kaim elyonim b'toy chesrim, and also additionally, the upper one is within 20 amas, in other words, 20 amas from the roof of the lower one, which is the ground of the upper one. Here you don't need to have that the upper one should be within 20 amas of the ground, because we're only measuring from its floor, which is the roof of the lower one. Therefore, as long as within 20 amas for the upper one from its floor, it's going to be kosher, and the low one's going to be pasul again because of sukkah tachas sukkah. Now, the Gemara concludes this statement by Rabbi Yirmi by asking pshita. It's pretty obvious. There doesn't seem to be any chiddush in all the cases that he told us. The only one that it would sound like he's telling us a chiddush is when one of them would have more sunlight than, if the upper one has more sunlight than shade, then the low one's going to be kosher because it's not sukkah tachas sukkah. Because the upper one's not a sukkah because it doesn't have the proper tzel, doesn't have the proper schach, hence it's not schach, so it's not a sukkah, so the low one's not pasul. But what's Rabbi Yirmiyah teaching us? That would seem pretty obvious too. It can't be tachas a sukkah if it's not a sukkah because it doesn't have a requisite amount of schach. So that the Gemara answers is that tachtoina ksheira velyoina psula istrachale. We needed Rabbi Yirmiyah for those four cases, specifically for the case that when he wanted to say that the low one's kosher and the upper one is going to be invalid. And as we said, because we're talking about that it's the upper one is going to be within 20 amas from the ground. And the reason why we needed him to tell us that chiddush is because ma'u d'teima nigzer, I would think to say that we would make a gzeira to say that the low one would be pasul. Because although, as we explained before, it's going to be kosher because the schach is within 20 amas from the upper one from the ground. So it's not schach pasul. And since it's only going to have more chama than tzel, it's not going to be a sukkah to say that the one underneath it is a sukkah tachas sukkah. So the low one is kosher and the upper one is pasul because it doesn't have tzel merubim mechamasa. But I would have thought to say that we would make a gzeir and say that in spite of that, the low one would be pasul. Why? Dilma mitzdar schach pasul b'hadi schach kosher. Maybe we might erroneously combine pasul schach with kosher schach. Now what that means is, because sometimes there could be, and we don't notice this, that the upper sukkah will have its schach go above 20 amos. Now, the reason why the person is not paying attention to that is because since he sees that the upper sukkah has more chama than shade, he's going to think in halacha we know that's as if there's no schach over there. Because regarding the area of halacha of sukkah tachas sukkah, you're right, it's like the upper sukkah is not even a sukkah. It won't have validated because of sukkah tachas sukkah. Now, however, the person is unaware, however, that if it goes above 20 amos, even if there's only very few schach, it will invalidate the lower sukkah, because that means you're combining pasul schach, because once it goes over 20 amos, it actually becomes pasul schach, as if it's like a tree attached to the ground, because once over 20 amos, it's pasul schach, combining with the kosher schach of the lower sukkah, which would invalidate the lower one. And since that might happen, because you're not paying attention to it, you know you can use the lower sukkah, but if it's going to become above 20 amos, it will be a psul. So therefore, maybe we should always say the low one's going to be pasul when it's beneath another sukkah that's higher than that. Kamash Mulan, that was the Chiddush of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that we don't make such a gzeira to say that to never allow the low one, which in this case of when it's the upper sukkah has more chama than sel, that the low one's going to be kosher, we don't make a gzeira that it should be pasul because of a case when that upper schach might go above 20 amos, making it schach pasul, which would then pose a problem for the low one. We would think you make such a gzeira. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that we don't make such a gzeira in that case.